Quick, Mitch, can you come up and talk about the joyous things that we had happen here yesterday? And yes, you're going to use a microphone because people online want to hear you. I got to find the right one. I don't know. Check. Yep, that one.
Well, talking about God moving, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I am really excited. God has started a work that he is going to finish to completion. And he has started it just recently, especially with Children's Church area. We had our Easter egg hunt yesterday. And first of all, I want to recognize someone special. Joyce, come on up. Over the years, I have needed a spokesperson to get out into the community. Yesterday, our Easter egg hunt was fabulous. We had about 65 people, and that was a lot of people from the community. That's to her. The gifting I do not have is communication on the internet, via email, via whatever way. She lives in the area. God is using her to get the word out. Okay? Thank you. But you can't do this by yourself. I want to bring some people up. Brendan, Sarah, Megan, who's not here, Jerry Lynn, Lorna, Barbara, Wendy, they're in the back. Wendy and Julie are in the back. They're doing Boys and Girls Missionary Giving. Joshua, he may be helping his mom. Justin, Angel, Charles, Diane, and Jackie. You don't do this yourself. It's a bunch of people who are willing to come out, and let's thank them. Great job. And we thank you, and we thank you for the times that you'll be out here volunteering too.
Hang on.
Thanks, guys.
Nobody, don't go anywhere. Nobody go anywhere. Diane, come back. Diane, come back.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pray for these people.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, real quick. And this is not part of the service. This is something that just came to me. What you see in front of you are people that took their time to do God's work. Now, as we do God's work, the enemy doesn't like that. And that should make us extremely happy. Therefore, as leaders in the church, board members, children's church leaders, and everyone else, it's our responsibility to cover these volunteers in prayer. So I want to take a minute. I want to take care of that.
Yes, hallelujah. Anyway, hallelujah, we thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. God is only you, God. We thank you that you show up on time and in time with your power and your might. We thank you, God. We thank you for all these people. Hallelujah. We thank you for Pastor Mitch. We thank you for the constant family. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for bringing them into your house. This house.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm excited.
Jesus. Get in there, get your hugs. I love you too, thank you. All right. Wow. And again, this is church. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple other things that are going on here. So Midge and the Calvary, what are we calling them? No, Kid Zone, whatever, are having regular Friday night events to bring children in. Because children are the future. And the enemy and the world has figured out that if we grab the kids, we kill Christianity. Let's not let that happen. We are here as a standard against that. So that said, regularly Friday nights, get on the mailing list. Our internet mailing list queen's right there. She will get you on the list for help, for whatever you need to do, reach out to her, and this will work well. I'd also be remiss if I didn't have the pleasure last week of standing in the tank behind us and baptizing people. I have never seen that many people baptized in this church for years. It was a joy to baptize the most of a family, kids recognizing that Jesus is the way earlier in their lives, and just picking up that mantle to be God's servants here. We need, as a church and individuals, to regularly gather around our pastor, his wife, our staff, and the person in the pew next to you that you may not even know right now, but just the person that sat next to me last Sunday, Lord, bless them. Because prayer changes things. Yes, amen. All right. Hang on, now I've gone down something. Electronics are great when they do what you want them to do. When they're not. So I'm going to do something different that I've never done before. And the scripture for today is Psalm 136. I'd like to read it responsively. So in order that we all have the same version of the Bible, because there's all multi-versions, it's going to be up here on the screen. So I'll read the first part of the verse, and all you've got to do is look up and read the second part. Do me a favor, please stand. Rise as we hear God's word. Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone does great wonders. To him who understanding made the heavens. For him who spreads out the earth above the waters. For him who made the great lights. The sun that rules over the day. The moon and the stars to rule over the nights. For him who struck down the firstborn of Israel. And brought Israel out from among them. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, the king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And give their land as an inheritance. The heritage of Israel, his servant. It is he who remembers us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh and gave thanks to the God of heaven. Do you gather a theme there? I purposely went through all 26 verses. Although there's no author shown in the title of the psalm, it's a very powerful reminder of God's great everlasting love. As people examine this, and you can be seated, there's several areas of this psalm that we went through. And we have to remember that this psalm was written before Christ came to the earth and during the Old Testament time. So a lot of the big things that happened in the kingdom of God are referenced here, but it's very important because they're very, very applicable to us today. Now, in some versions of the Bible, they replace love with mercy. So it's kind of interchangeable because mercy is great love. So let's look at some of these divisions and how they may affect us today. Verses 1 through 4, the enduring love of God is his essential nature of who he is. God is love. God is nothing but love, okay? God's not angry. God's not vengeance. God is love. God's love is enduring for all times, and it's unchanging. In a world where no one seems to agree upon right or wrong, we have been given the absolute base of love and mercy. It's the nature of God. His love and his mercy are unchanging. We can always count on it. It will always be there. It will never change. It becomes the anchor that remains an anchor. We can hold on to that reference of love and knowing there's always a foundation in our life. That will never change. So no matter where the world wants us to drift, no matter what society puts in front of us, no matter what the neighbor says is right or wrong, calling you right or wrong, the anchor that holds you to God is unchanging. It's always a reference. If you want to know, is this right or this wrong? How does it stack up in God's word? How does it stack up to God? God knows what's going on in this world, but he also knows that he's in this world. One thing I love about God is he's unchanging. I know that I serve a Redeemer that will never change. The only variable in the equation is me. In the days where you're having issues and troubles, and we see lots of them, only the anchor that we have doesn't change. The foundation grew up as a cornerstone, and we have the answer that we share with God. Think of the songs we sang this morning. The song about just God never changes. He changes seas to highways. These are things that go on in life that are just completely impossible. And yes, there are some times when we go through being cornered at the Red Sea by the Egyptians because we are there. But God has already knows that he's going to part that sea so we can walk through on dry ground. Moving to verse 5 through 9, the enduring love of God and his work as a creator. You've heard me say this up here before. And that God knew everything that was going to happen yesterday, today, tomorrow, last year, next year, 10 years from now, 50 years ago, whatever. He knew it was going to happen before he created any of it. He knew where the world would go. He knew, and Jesus, being there from the very beginning, knew that one day he would hang on a tree and we would celebrate it next week. They knew it, and they did it anyways. Because God is love, and it's a steadfast love endures forever. Ever is before we were here, it'll be here long after we're gone. It's the anchor that holds us. The one thing we have that the world doesn't have is an anchor. Think about it. everything that's going on in society today, there is no solid place for the world to put its trust. Because the word of trust and what is trusted is changed regularly. The bring of God and deliverance from Egypt. We all know the story. I did have a reference here with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments, as a good movie. But remember that the nation of Israel was built in the nation of Egypt. We have to remember that God arranged them to go to Egypt in the first place to escape a famine where 70 people left. His plan was perfect, and he knew what he was doing. Think about this. If you have a relative, let's say you have a brother, you're one of 12 brothers, and your little brother is just a pain. He's braggadocious. He's daddy's favorite. Oh, long story short, we sell him into slavery because now we got rid of him. But what would happen if they didn't do that? Joseph went to Egypt, rose to second in command because God, and here's my catchphrase, God has a plan. Okay? God knew what he was doing. It was troublesome. His father wept. His father cried. He had lost his son. But what was to come of that? The nation of Israel moved to Egypt as slaves. No, not slaves, I'm sorry. They moved as a people. 70 of them left. God just knew what was happening 400 plus years later. So 400 plus years later, everyone is mad. They've become slaves. They're overworked. They're underpaid. They're not recognized for what they do. Anyone ever have a day like that? I do. Ever feeling, you know, I need a raise. You know, I need not to work 40, 50 hours a week. God has a plan. So it's interesting. So God speaks to, God sent Moses, an Israelite-born child, who was supposed to be thrown into the Nile and killed, because that was Pharaoh's plan. We'll get rid of all the people under 2 years old because a Redeemer's coming. Oh, there's his daughter. Look, here's a baby. Oh, I'd like to have a son. One boy rescued from the river, born Israeli, born as an Israelite, raised as an Egyptian, runs away because he did something wrong. He murdered somebody and got caught. Out in the wilderness, a man that stutters, a man that can't talk, and finds himself in front of a burning bush, charged with delivering the nation. So he follows what God wants him to do. He goes back. He challenges God. How many people have ever challenged God in their life? Going, God, this can't be where you want me to be. God, what are you talking about? God, what do you mean you want me to marry Midge? Really? But how many people have been in that spot where, God, you really want me to go talk to that person? What? Yeah. Where he's nodding his head because at one point in time we hated each other. That's a story most of you already know. He's my best friend. But God knew what he was doing when he moved me into that place with our lives. And it was problematic. How many people can say you've been in one spot where you thought, this can't be where I need to be. I deserve better than this, God. This is wrong. And God pulled it into something that was absolutely beautiful. I know in my life in all our lives here, if we think about it, there's something that we're going through right here and right now that we're questioning God about. And the beautiful thing about this is God's okay with that. He's okay with Moses going, God, I stutter. God, this isn't what I do. I can't go back to Egypt. They're looking for me. I'm a wanted man. But he went. He stood fast in the love of God and went. Now let's switch gears and go to the nation of Israel. They get there and, yeah, you know, the plagues. God saved them from plagues. You know, all the plagues, Pharaoh's hardened heart through the whole thing. And I'll let Charlton Heston finish that particular realm. So it takes the death of the firstborn of Israel. And what happened to the nation of Israel while they were in their area? Passover? The Lamb of God passed over them in death by putting blood on the mantle. Nobody from Israel suffered the death of a firstborn. God's hand was in it all. So Pharaoh finally relents and off they go. And as they walk out of Egypt, they are showered with gifts, clothing, jewelry, everything. Just get out. Okay? What's their first big obstacle? Oh, look, God brings us to the Red Sea. So with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them, what did the nation of Israel do? God, Moses, we want to go back to Egypt. We didn't have these problems back there. What are we doing here? Exodus 14, 10 and 11. When Pharaoh drew near, the people lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it's because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us out of the wilderness. They have to die because you brought us out of Egypt. What happened? What does the song say? Highways out of seas. Think about that. Dry ground, not mud, dry ground. We've been boating for years. I can't imagine, you know, Lake Ontario, where we do most of our fishing, just drying up so I could walk to Canada. Wow. And yet they complained all the way to the promised land. When they got there, through a bunch of miracles, they complained. God showed them the land of milk and honey, showed them the size of the grapes, showed them everything. We can't do it, God. Okay, time for another lesson. 40 years back in the wilderness. God's love never changed for his people. God's enduring love was with them the entire time. How many people go through a set of sneakers a year? A pair of shoes a year? How many have worn something out? Imagine the pair of sneakers that you're wearing today lasting you 40 years of constant walking on them. How many people, I'm getting a little older and every now and then my feet swell. Anyone else have swollen feet? Don't raise your hands. Because then we're going to be in the same predicament. Imagine being 40 years on your feet and not having one swollen ankle the entire time. It wasn't because of Motrin, folks. Through 25, the enduring love of God and ongoing deliverance and help. God's ongoing deliverance and enduring love for his people and his children manifests throughout history. I can tell you multiple times in my life, and those of you who know my story about 3 years ago, understand that that wasn't me, that was all God. Okay? And I can guarantee you that if you think about it, there's something in your life right now that you can say, God delivered me from that. God brought me through that. I'll tell you right now, Joyce and her husband were brought here because God brought them here. He delivered them to us. All of you have been delivered here by God for his purpose. There's not a single person sitting in this room or listening online that's part of this church that hasn't been brought here by God for his purposes. His purposes might be that you hear a sermon last week, you hear a sermon next week. His purposes might be that you get involved in a ministry. I don't know what they are. God knows what they are. And it doesn't really matter what they are, as long as we're obedient to God to do what God has us to do in the season God has for us to do it. So the last sentence, and it is a sentence, in Matthew 28, says, "Behold, I am with you always unto the end of the age." God was with us at the beginning of the age, before the age that my human beings were on this earth, to the last day that their last human is here, the last Christian is taken up, God will be with us. And then we'll be with God. The last verse, gratitude to God for enduring love. Thanks be to God of heaven. Thank you. Charles Spurgeon, in writing about this psalm, and I did take a little bit of privilege, he uses the word mercy, I changed it to love. The past, the present, or the future will not end his love. The storms of life will not end his love. Distance from loved ones will not end his love. Death itself will not end his love. God's never-ending love should make us merciful to others. God's never-ending love should make us hopeful for others. God's never-ending love should make us hopeful for ourselves. Think about that for a minute. Everyone you pass on the street, no matter who they are or what they are or how they're practicing their life or how they're identifying with whatever, is a person made in the image of God, just as you and I are. And the love that God has for them, no matter what they're doing, is the same love that God has for us. One of the things that we are charged with as the church is to show that love. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall I say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up to us. How will we not know also with him gracious and giving us all things? Jesus, God incarnate. Today we celebrate his arrival in Jerusalem, knowing full well that within the week, he'd be hanging on that cross, dying for our sin, willingly, openly, knew it from the beginning. And yes, he did pray that, hey, God, if there's another way, Dad, if there's another way, can we not do this? But your will be done, not mine. That is a prayer that is very, very difficult to mimic and to pray for myself. Because I know better, or at least I think I know better. At least I think I can plan it better. At least maybe we can work it out better. If this cup pass for me, please. If it's your will that I drink it, then I'll drink it. The foundation of God's love is that if we have to drink something that isn't pleasing to us in the flesh, and it's of God, it's pleasing to him, and he will find a way through that for all of us. So here we are on Palm Sunday. How do we put this into our lives? And this struck me pretty hard as I prepared for this. How does Greg put this in the lives? First today we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Need more coffee. Now, knowing full well that in a few days he would give up the ultimate gift and break the barrier between us and God. Until that time in history, there was a surrogate for sacrifice, the animal sacrifices in Israel. That day when Jesus gave up his life, the scriptures tell us that the curtain that hid the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat where God dwells, was torn in half. Immediately, the bridge between us and God, the gap between us and God, was bridged by Jesus Christ. If that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't empower you, if that doesn't give you awe and graciousness for what happened on that day, just so you know, I've got 26 pages of notes here. I think I've touched two of them. But thankfully, God knew what he wanted me to say. For those of us who know Jesus and follow him, we need to remember and embrace his love and his mercy. For we will continually and daily need to touch that stone. How many people chase squirrels? Rabbits? Widgets? Facebook? Instagram? Don't get me wrong. I believe social media can be a positive thing. We're on social media as we speak doing a positive thing. But I, for one, am guilty of, you know, what's on, you know, I every minute I have down, I might be looking what's going on. I'm checking what's going on with the family. That's my excuse. Okay? So I need to rein that in. I'm not doing anything, you know, but it's time consuming. The joy of being a Christian and knowing that it's not us that have righteousness. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. There's nothing we do to deserve salvation or heaven. Nothing. Nothing. It's only the shed blood of Christ. So two quotes from C.S. Lewis. One I can't find, so I can't guarantee it's his, but this is what I believe is his. There's an enemy out there, sworn enemy of God. Two of the great things that we have, tools against that enemy, are one, we know who wins. It's already been written. The biggest thing he does for Christians, for society, and for the world is to create chaos. If I can keep you looking at everything but God, then I have you distracted. I can't steal your salvation. I can't stop you from being a Christian. But if I can slow you down from being an effective Christian, I gain ground. It's the one thing I love about this church. We have not, throughout this entire, we'll just make it easy, we'll start with the pandemic. We have not lost ground. That's because people sitting in these pews, the man that stands in this pulpit, understands that God has a plan. And we are moving forward. 65 people here yesterday, including workers. What was it? 9 people baptized last week. Manna House Fellowship in this building this afternoon. They had a baptism. I don't know how many did they have, Becky? They only had one. But they had one. Someone followed the directions. And we, as a congregation and a building and two bodies that meet here, are willing to say, God, whatever you have for us, we'll tackle. We will do it with your help and your strength, not ours, yours. The other one that I do know from C.S. Lewis is God doesn't want something from you or me or us. He just wants us. There's nothing that we can do in our flesh and our humanity and our goodness, because don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good people in this world. There's a lot of people doing right. There's a lot of people that aren't succumbing to the enemy. They're doing good in powerful things. But if they're not doing it with God, they're doing it in eternal vain. God wants us. But why? because Pastor prayed this the other week, and see if I get it right, because I actually didn't write it down. I should have. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, to a listening and interceding son, to a gracious Heavenly Father. If that's not power, and that's not the plug-in that we need for eternal energy, then I don't know what is. God is good. Jesus is beautiful. And God has a plan. There, I got all pastors in and all of mine in. So I was thinking about how to close this sermon, and we are going to do communion. I forgot to mention this. If you haven't gotten your elements, raise your hand. We'll have someone bring one to you. Or you want to step in the back and get one, we're going to do that, Pastor. So just so you know, the little things that open are very difficult. There's a juice stain right down here on the carpet to prove that I can't do it. One of the things that has always brought me peace, and one of the things that I go back to regularly, is what I believe to be one of the most powerful set of scripture to help us understand how good God is, how he looks over us. And that's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not mine. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, love, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One more quick event in our lives. We were down at the services in Brownsville years ago, and we stood in line at noon to get in the church. And I met a Methodist pastor there, and I forget his name. I lost touch with him years ago. And he asked Midge and I what this was all about, and he went into the building. And Steve Hill was the speaker and the evangelist for the night, as he was most nights. And he said, I know that there's a lot of pastors and deacons in the building, and we're not going to have a message tonight. I want you to all come down and get prayed for. If you're a pastor or a deacon, please come down. Other than that, just please stay in your seat and pray for them there. This man got up and went down. He was blessed and anointed with the Holy Spirit that night like he'd never been before in his life. He came back, sat next to me, and I said, so what do you think, preacher man, is this real? He goes, I will never be the same. He went back to his Methodist church, and his process was just like the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. He preached and asked God to give him messages and sermons and teaching, not to fill his cup, but to fill his cup so he could give his congregation the overflow. Listen to me, the overflow. We are God's light in this world. And this world is all about darkness. And darkness isn't in of itself darkness. It's the absence of light. So if we are the light of the world through Jesus Christ, let's let our light shine. Do I expect you to be standing on the street corner preaching? Well, if that's what God wants you to do, yeah, then I expect you to stand on the corner and preaching. Do I expect you to love your neighbor, love your family, you know, pray for people, strangers? Ask them if they want you to pray for them. You've heard me in this pulpit talk about my friend who prays for waitresses and waiters at every restaurant. There he is. Okay, and I'm not telling you to do what Dean does. That's Dean's thing. If God tells you to do it, then do it. It's just amazing the little things we can do to show our light. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to stand in a pulpit. You don't have to teach Sunday school. You can bring good snacks because that makes me happy. That makes all of us happy. Who doesn't like good snacks? But God has a plan and a place for you. You don't have to be a Pastor Brian. You don't have to be a Miss Midge. You don't have to be anyone that serves large in a church. You can be the person like Tom Ashley, who has been stricken with a stroke and can't come here. But I know right now he's at home praying for the service. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. As you drive by a church that you know preaches the gospel, pray for it. God bless that church. God, be in their service today as you drive there while you come here. Don't stop and pray. No, I'm kidding. God has an ever steadfast love that will endure forever. So, this is nowhere near the rails of what started. But I do believe God has had a word. And it is what he put on my heart to share. The words I typed aren't the words like I said, but they are the thoughts, because they were his, not mine. As we prepare for communion, join me in spending a couple minutes reflecting how God's unfailing love has touched your life. And let's ask him how we can show his unfailing love to a world who desperately needs it. Something's all this heart. God will use your obedience and grow it. No, hang on. I'm not as smooth as Pastor Brian. Does everyone have, let me see if I can do this without spilling it. Probably not. On the night he was betrayed, I got it. You got one? Cool. Never a problem. Thank you. It's okay. You need one?
Thank you.
Think about this. On the night he was betrayed, he sat with his betrayer. He sat with his closest friends, knowing what's going to happen to him in the morning. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body." His body that would be broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, the last sin sacrifice ever." Thank you, Lord. Jesus. God is good. Amen. God is here. God will go with you because that's who he is. And the scripture also says they sang a hymn. Hallelujah.
We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We worship your name, Lord Jesus. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. The end of mourning, the sight, the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. My
we magnify your name, Lord God. We exalt you, Jesus. God is good, and he is doing something good. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, Jesus. We exalt your name, Lord. When I'm in the roughest water, I won't go under, I won't drown. And when I'm in over my head, I know that you won't let me down. And when I'm broken and down to nothing, I know that you are always up to something good. I know that you are always up to something good. You make a way, whatever it takes. There's nothing your love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, Jesus. Even through the deepest valley, you go before me, you are here. For I know you'll never leave me. Your love surrounds me, I won't fear. And when I'm broken and down to nothing, I know that you are always up to something good. I know that you are always up to something good. You make a way, whatever it takes. There's nothing your love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good. Hallelujah. He's working on your behalf today. He's working to bless. Through the darkest night, you are on our side. You are always faithful. Through my fear and doubt, you will lead me out. You are always able. Through the darkest night, you are on our side. You are always faithful. Through my fear and doubt, you will lead me out. You are always faithful. You are faithful. I know that you are always up to something good. I know that you are always up to something good. Say you make a way, whatever it takes. There's nothing your love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good. And say you make a way, whatever it takes. There's nothing your love won't endure. I know that you are always up to something good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for always working, for always doing, for always moving, Lord God. Hallelujah. We exalt your holy name. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.